Thank you for being with us today, and we hope you'll stay with us for the next few minutes as we talk about a man by the name of Elijah, a great Old Testament prophet. And our lesson today is going to be about never give up. We're going to talk about Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 19, and our lesson is going to be about never give up. Elijah was a great prophet in the Old Testament during very hard times. The children of Israel had given themselves over to idolatry. And Elijah felt like he was the only one left defending God and standing up for God, as we're going to see in our study. And Elijah was a man that was a human like the rest of us. He was a man that became discouraged, very discouraged, as we're going to see in our reading. But God didn't want him to give up. He felt like giving up. Sometimes we feel like giving up too. But that's not what God wants us to do. He does not want us to give up. Let's begin reading now as we study about Elijah and our lesson today about never giving up. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Elijah had stood up against the 450 prophets of Baal and had the people to kill them. It was a great victory. It was on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal had tried to call down fire by calling on their God. They couldn't do it. But Elijah could. He called fire down. God sent it down upon the altar on Mount Carmel. And now they destroyed all the false prophets, the prophets of Baal. But it didn't please Jezebel. Then, verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." You've killed 450 prophets of Baal, that is to say, and I'm going to do the same to you, is what Jezebel was saying to Elijah. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He was ready to give up, wasn't he? He wanted to die. It was a very discouraging time for him. He stood up for God, but now his life is being threatened. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind, but after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So that's what Elijah was discouraged about. He had stood for the Lord, but what did he receive in return? A threat to take his life away, and it discouraged Elijah. I'm sure you have been discouraged, and it happens to people, even people of great faith. The Lord said unto him, Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest unto Hazael to be king over Syria, and anoint him, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimeloah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. God had something for Elijah to do. It wasn't time for him to quit and to give up. He was a great prophet, but he became discouraged. He was such a great prophet that when Jesus was transfigured on that mount in Matthew 17, 1 through 5, there appeared with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Isn't that something? Elijah was such a great prophet. He stood along with Moses and Jesus Christ. He was a great man of God, and yet he was saying, Take away my life. It's time to give up, he thought. I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. But you know what? God didn't want him to give up. God had never left him. Look at the last verse of 1 Kings 18, verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. God gave him rest. God had never left him. Verse 5, God gave him rest. Verses 5 and 6, God gave him food. Verse 7, God had an angel to go and be with him. Verse number 9, God still spoke to him and gave him instructions. Verse 15, God gave him directions and duties to do. And then in verse 18, God gave him encouragement. He says in verse 18, Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So we learn a very valuable lesson in this passage. We learn that God is with us. We learn that we must not give up. We must not stop being a faithful Christian to God. We must persevere. We must keep going. And so we learn that you've got to keep going as a Christian. You can have great faith and still become discouraged. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 that the Christian life is like a race, not a short race, a long race. We can live as a Christian here 50 and 60 years. It's a long race. We're never to stop. And I want to read this passage to you from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're in a race, as it were. It's a long race. We must not give up. If we want to win this race, we've got to hang in there and not quit. Someone once said, "Winners never quit, and quitters never win." I believe that to be true. I believe if we quit being a Christian, we're not going to win the crown of life. And if we do not quit, we will obtain the crown of life. This Christian race lasts our entire life, so don't give up. If we quit, we will never get the crown. And Paul spoke of that very thing in the last chapter his pen wrote. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last part of his inspired message says this, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." We're in a warfare, and you've got to fight, and you've got to fight to the end. "I have finished my course." That's like the race that we were talking about. I finished my course. You've got to finish the race. "I have kept the faith." You know, we were just reading about Elijah. He was about to give up the race. He was about to give up the faith. But God wouldn't let him do that. But listen now to verse number 8 of 2 Timothy 4. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." If you want to receive the crown, you've got to finish the course. You've got to keep the faith. You've got to hang in there and fight the good fight. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Christ is going to judge us on that day. But notice what he says, the judge is going to give us a crown. And so we've got to stay steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We cannot give up the fight. We cannot quit because we'll never win the crown of righteousness that way. The judge, the righteous judge, will not give it to us. So I want to encourage you to be patient. Romans chapter 2 says this, beginning in verse number 7. It says, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." You know what you're going to receive if you continue? You're going to receive eternal life. It says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what will they receive? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile." So we've got to have patient continuance. Patient continuance. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 13, "He that endureth to the end," to the end, "he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." The same shall be saved. What if we continue to the end? Now, there are times when we feel like we want to give up. But the Bible says for us to have patient continuance, finish your course, never quit. If you quit, you fail to reach the reward. Don't do that. Endure to the end. And in James chapter 5, it talks about farmers. We're like a farmer that's planted a field. And in this passage, James chapter 5 and verse 7, we read this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so we're to have patience and long suffering. We're not to give up. We're not to give in. Now here are some things that we're not to give up on. Do not give up on your marriage. Jesus was asked about putting away your wife. Can you put away your wife for every cause? They said. He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He says, whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3 says, a woman is married to her husband so long as he liveth. We cannot end our marriage for any reason for not getting along with one another. That is not what God wants. God wants us to hang in there. And so in our marriages, when we talk about hanging in there, we're talking about hanging in there with our marriage. Everyone has problems. We have small problems. We have great problems. Some people have survived the most severe problems that you can imagine. Their marriage has stayed together. Don't give up on that. Don't give up on a wayward child. In Luke 15, we read about the prodigal son. He left his father's house. He took his inheritance. He went off into a far land, the Bible says. And he wasted all that he had on riotous living. But there became a famine in the land, and that son came home to his father. And his father, the Bible says, seeing him afar off, ran and hugged him and kissed him, and made the fatted calf, and had a party and a celebration. And so a wayward child, don't give up on a wayward child. Don't give up on your marriage. You know, we have marriage vows, and they go something like this. I'm taking you to be my lawful wedded husband or wife, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse, till death do us part. And that's what we say, and that's our vows. And so don't give up on your marriage. And don't give up on a wayward child or a brother or sister in Christ. Hope that they will come back to the Lord. Hope that they will be restored to the Lord. Don't give up on converting a friend. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians 6 and 9. Our job is to plant and to water, and God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. So it takes time. You've got to plant. You've got to water. That takes time. Don't give up on converting someone. It may pay off in the long run. And don't give up when you have a spouse that doesn't believe. Don't give up on converting them. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the behavior of the wives. while they behold your chaste behavior, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so you need to keep living that way day after day after day after day. And the Bible says that it can have an impact on someone's lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a question is asked about a believer being married to a non-believer. And it says there that, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? So we should not give up. Don't give up living the Christian life. Do not give up on your marriage. Do not give up on a wayward child that has drifted away from God. Don't give up on converting a friend. Don't give up on an unconverted wife or husband. And don't give up when you're facing hardships in this world. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. You and I are going to have problems in this life, but don't give up. Christ is coming again. Christ is coming back. And if we give up, we're not faithful through the troubles of life, we're not going to receive the reward. In James 5, we were just over in James a moment ago, but I want to read a couple more verses with you. James 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Don't give up. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Just because you're having problems, don't give up the Christian life. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That's chapter 42. That the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. And so you're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems. We've already had problems. These people made it to the end. The prophets, they hung in there. They were killed. Job, he didn't give up. He had severe problems. Now, if they made it through, we can too. That's the point. That's why God put them in the Bible. They made it through their problems, and so can we. We have God on our side. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. He's given us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't give up, dear friend. I know sometimes we get discouraged, but don't let it cause you to stop being a faithful Christian. Thank you for tuning in today. Never quit. Never quit. Stay faithful to the Lord. Let me encourage you today that's in the Bible. The Bible wants you to hang in there to the very end. And God wants to save you and give you a crown of life, give you a crown of righteousness. The judge will do it on the last and final day. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope we've encouraged someone to stay faithful, to be a faithful Christian, and I hope to see you someday in heaven. Thank you. Have a great day. May God bless.